I was just listening a few moments ago as Kristen was sharing the children's message with us, and she talked about being tired of practicing. And Edmund, was it you that said, "I never get tired of practicing"? I was thinking about that because this past week I got to speak at a conference down at First Baptist Church in Enterprise, and I spoke 6 times in 3 days. And then I was getting ready for this morning, and you know what I thought about? I never get tired of preaching. One day I'll give you 4 or 5 chances, and you can figure out whether you love it or not. How about that? I never get tired of teaching the Word of God. It energizes me every time I get to teach. And those of you who've been teaching Sunday school this morning, and those of you who have opportunities to lead in different places, you know exactly what I mean. There's something about having the opportunity to preach the Word of God that just gives you energy. Which brings me to a question this morning, and that question is, so how's this working out for you, this Christian life thing? When you get up in the morning and you think about your walk with the Lord, does it energize you? Do you get excited? Are you glad to have another day that God has blessed you? Or is the honest truth is, it's kind of gotten to be a routine, where you don't think about it a whole lot, where you just kind of take your walk with God for granted? You know, some of us have been believers most of our lives. Some of us have only been followers for a little while. But my question this morning, when I ask you how is that Christian walk thing working out with you, doesn't have anything to do with the length of your walk with the Lord. I'm asking about the depth of your faith. Are you fulfilled? Is it challenging you? Or is the honest truth, you've kind of gotten to the point that I wish I had a little more? Long ago, Martin Luther declared, faith is either a dull habit or an acute fever. So my question, I guess, is where would you put yourself on that spectrum between dull habit and acute fever? Where do you find yourself this morning when it comes to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the Bible says that the Lord wants your faith in Him to affect everything about you. So what's the secret? How can you let the Lord transform you from the inside out? How can you let the Lord make your walk with Christ everything that He wants it to be? Well, the secret is simple. You make one of two decisions and it can affect everything. Either you try to transform yourself and make yourself what you ought to be as a believer, or you let the Lord do in you what you could never accomplish alone. And in this morning's power passage, the Bible says, let 4 things happen in your life. And when you do, God will do what only God can do. So maybe the secret is that you don't try to make something happen as much as you let something happen. Something that God already wants desperately to do in you. And you can stop and let God do what only God can do. Let me show you what I mean. The first thing that the passage says in Colossians is simply this. Let the peace of God rule. Let God's peace rule in your life. Peace, if there's anything we're desperate for in the world today, it is peace. Peace between people, peace between nations, peace between opinions about politics and sports and how you view the world around you. The truth is, there are a lot of people who are struggling for peace in this world. And you do think about the great needs for nations to experience peace and for the world around us to experience peace. But the truth is, maybe you're here today and peace is a struggle in your own life. You've been confronting things that were really challenging. You've run into problems that you don't know how to solve. You've just reached a point where you're really struggling to find purpose and strength in your life, and you're wondering, where is the peace? Maybe you have encountered a specific issue and you're trying to figure out, how in the world do I solve this? And there's just no peace. And here's the thing. The Lord wants you to experience real peace. Not the kind of peace that comes from surrendering what you think or believe. You know, that kind of peace that says, I'm just not going to argue with you. I'm just not going to stand for anything I believe in. I'm not going to take my stand here. No, I'm talking about He wants you to experience the real peace that comes from knowing I am at peace with my Creator. I am at peace with my Savior, the peace of God. What can steal your peace away? What takes the peace God wants you to have? Well, let me suggest several things that may happen. Sometimes you lose your peace because of unresolved sin. Sometimes there's something you've done wrong. You know you did it wrong. God's been convicting you about it. You've been struggling with the Holy Spirit. But the truth is, you just don't want to deal with it. God, this is my issue. This is my problem. This is my situation. I'll handle it my own way. And the way I will handle it is, I'm not going to do anything about it. And there's unresolved sin in your life. It hasn't been confessed. It hasn't been forgiven. It hasn't been restored. It's just there. Maybe it's something that happened just this past week, but maybe it's something that happened last year or 10 years ago, and you've just been carrying that burden around, and every time you think about it, it steals your peace away. Unresolved sin, unreconciled relationships can steal your peace. When you have a division between yourself and another person or persons, maybe there's unreconciled relationships and they're going on within families, maybe they're going on within workplace situations, maybe it's an individual that you know and you've crossed paths with one another and you've never been able to reconcile that relationship, and because of that, it takes your peace away. Maybe you've lost your peace because you're dealing with discouragement. You've been facing a situation and it never seems to resolve itself. It goes on and on and on, and you've just gotten discouraged. I don't know if things are ever going to get better. I'm not sure anything's ever going to be different, and unless things change, I'm just going to continue to be discouraged in my life. Maybe you're dealing with fear. Maybe it's futility. Maybe it's something else. But it's something that reminds you, I can't have peace because this is always there under the surface in my life. One of the things I say about these issues that steal your peace away is when you know it's there and you just don't know what to do next, it can be like taking a beach ball and holding it under the surface of the water in a swimming pool. And then you pretend everything's fine because the pool looks fine, except what's going on? That pressure keeps pushing back and pushing back and pushing back. And inevitably, what's going to happen? It's coming to the surface. It's got to be dealt with, because until it does, your peace is never going to go away. The problem most people have is they think peace comes from the outside in. They think, I can find peace in my life if I can just change the circumstances that surround me. Maybe I'm facing a health challenge. Maybe I'm dealing with a situation at work. Maybe I'm dealing with something else that just seems to never go away in my life. And I think, if I could just change that. You always know that you're struggling with circumstances if you use two little words all the time in your life. You know what those two little words are? If only. If only this would change. If only that would happen. If only this person were not in my way. If only this or that or the other. If only. And you think peace can come from the outside in. I just need things around me to change and then it'll all be better. But Scripture says peace has to come from the inside out. Colossians says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It reminds us of what we need to remember, that none of us need our sins to be forgotten. They need to be forgiven. Our troubles don't need to be ignored. They need to be resolved. We don't need God to change our circumstances. We need God to change us. from the inside out. Most of the time, we need the real peace that comes from only listening to one voice, the voice of God. We live in a time of a million voices that steal your peace away. Wherever you turn, there are voices telling you what to think, what to believe, how to live, how to behave, where you should turn to find the truth. And each of those voices promises the same thing. They all promise peace. If you will do this, you will have peace. You know what I discovered this morning, early in the morning when I was getting ready to come? I discovered I could have peace in my life if I only bought this little 2-pound leaf blower that will blow everything around you away. And you can blow it away, and you don't have to get out your big leaf blower. And when you get finished with it, you are going to be so happy. Your life is going to be at peace. Well, that sounds silly, doesn't it? Except that's what you hear every time you watch a commercial on television. If you buy this, wear this, have that, go here, then you will have peace. Or you listen to other voices that say, if you only believe the way I believe, if you only think the way I think, if you're only just like me, then you'll have peace. But here's what we need to remember. If it's not His voice, every voice calling out to you is either lying or wrong. If those voices you hear do not line up with what the Lord says to you in His Word, then they are wrong every time. People live their lives in a restless confusion because they run from voice to voice and they never find the peace that passes understanding. The only peace you can trust in every situation is the Master's voice. What does the Lord tell me about this situation, this circumstance, this need, this frustration? When Colossians instructs you to let the peace of God rule, that word that is translated rule can also be translated as judge or umpire. Let the peace of God make the decisions. That's what it's saying. Listen to that one voice. Paul is declaring one voice speaks with final authority. One voice eliminates confusion. One voice gives clear direction. One voice provides final approval in your life. To let the peace of Christ rule is to say to yourself, I am ready to listen to one voice and only one voice. And when I listen to His voice, and when I hear what He is trying to tell me, and when I obey what He instructs me to do, and when I heed His warnings, and when I follow His leadership, then I will know the peace that comes from the inside out. Because it's His peace. Let the peace of God rule. But Paul's not done. He also says this, and let the word of Christ dwell. The Bible presents you with a choice, and the choice you make will determine the direction of your life. What is that decision? What are you going to do with the Word of God where your life is concerned? I have to decide what kind of authority is Scripture going to have in my life. People believe a lot of things about the Bible. Some people think it is a moral book. It teaches you a good way to live. Some people think it is filled with fairy tales that just are stories that people made up and there's nothing true about them. Some people believe that it is one religious book among other religious books and they have equal authority over your life. I heard one commentator say this. He said, the Bible has many wise sayings. Of course, many of them contradict each other. He was trying to say this, you can believe the Bible, but not really. Where's the peace in that? It's the biggest mistake anyone can make. If you seek to rob the Bible of its authority over your life, it cannot help you. If you say to yourself, I will believe the Bible, but only the parts I like. I will believe the Bible, but in a general kind of way. But the idea of saying, I will give the Word of God authority over my life, that's foreign to you. And as long as it is, it can't help you. You have to turn to Jesus, as Peter once did, and confess, only you have the words that give eternal life. Only you. What kind of authority will the Bible have over my life? Only the Bible speaks the revealed Word of God. Only the Bible gives us God's truth, not as we have discovered it, but as He has given it to us. Only the Bible has the words of eternal life. The Lord makes the challenge plain. You have to let the Bible be everything or nothing. To let the Word dwell means letting God's unchanging truth live in you. Let it dwell in you. You consume the Word. You digest the Word. You apply the Word. You don't just read the Word. You absorb the Word. You let it give you life. You let the Word have the authority that speaks God's truth into your life. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. That means it's always there, all the time, no matter what, in every situation. But Paul's not through yet. He also says this, and let the name of Jesus be your highest standard. One thing is true about life. Every one of us has a race to run. It begins on the day we're born, and it continues for a lifetime and into eternity. Your responsibility is to choose what you are running toward. And Paul says, measure your life by whether you are running toward Jesus. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whether you make that your goal will make all of the difference. If I realize the goal of my life is running toward Jesus, getting as close to Him as I possibly can, day by day believing I am making progress toward the Lord, then it will change everything. It'll determine how you live. It'll determine what really matters to you. It will determine success or failure. In the end, it will determine your eternal destiny. The Bible says, run toward Jesus, whatever you do in word or deed. Run toward Jesus. When He becomes the standard by which you measure your life, you really only have to ask two questions about anything. The first question is this: does this bring glory to Christ? Whatever it is I'm thinking about, whatever it is I'm doing, whatever it is I'm planning, whatever it is I'm focusing on, does it bring glory to Christ? Boy, that makes choices a lot simpler, doesn't it? When I'm thinking, well, this is a hard decision. Do I want to do this or that? Do I want to focus on that or the other? Do I think that I'm going to invest my life, myself, my talents, my possessions in this or that? Well, I don't know. Does it bring glory to Christ? And if it doesn't, then I'm not running toward Him anymore. And the second question is simply this: can I ask Him to bless this? Can I bring it before the Lord and say, here's what I'm doing, here's what I'm planning, this is what I'm saying, this is what I'm asking, this is what I'm prioritizing. Can I ask You to bless this? And if not, I need to leave it alone. That's not hard, is it? Sometimes we complicate our faith, and sometimes we try to make conditions around our faith and try to decide, well, this or that or the other, but in this situation, or if this were to happen, and what about this and what about that? And it really is so simple. Lord, can I ask You to bless this? Whether it's a big decision or a small one, can I bring it before the Lord? And then Paul tells us one other thing that I think is so important for us when we think about a power passage for our faith. He simply says this, and let gratitude cover it all. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians lifts that quality above so much else in your Christian life. If you have a life filled with gratitude toward the Lord for what He's done, then it makes your life, your spiritual life, so much richer and stronger. In fact, it's so important that every time He lists one of these other qualities, He also talks about thanksgiving. Listen to what He says. Let the peace of God rule and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell with gratitude in your hearts. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Gratitude, 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 gratitude. Now, why does that so empower your spiritual life? It so empowers your spiritual life because it changes the whole perspective, the whole dimension of your perspective of what it means to live as a believer. Because some of those voices you listen to say, be careful about taking Him too seriously, because if you do, He's going to take things away from you. Be careful about listening too closely to His word, because if you do, there are going to be things you're going to have to give up. There are going to be ways you're going to have to change, and your life won't be as full as it once was because you've had to put things down that you think you need so badly. But instead, what Paul says is this. He says, as you let all of these things happen, as you let God's peace dwell in you, as you let God's word guide you toward one voice, as you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, be thankful. Be thankful. God, I used to settle for so much less. And You have given me so much more. I used to think that passing things were so important. Thank You that You've given me an eternal perspective. I used to think I could handle it all by myself. Thank You now that I know I can trust You. And that will always be enough. Be thankful. Why is gratitude so critical? Because an ungrateful heart believes God owes me. An ungrateful heart means that God owes me whatever it is I want and is constantly disappointed that the Lord won't let them be in charge. An ungrateful heart says, God, You need to give me exactly what I want, exactly the way I want it, and if You don't give me what I want, then I'm going to be really upset with You. I'm going to be really angry with You. A grateful heart believes everything is a blessing and uses it to grow closer to the Lord. Even those disappointments, even those challenges, those things are blessings if you let them draw you toward a dependence upon the Lord. God, I used to think I could do it all by myself. I used to think I was strong enough to handle it all on my own. And You used some things to break me. And because of that, I've learned how much I need to trust You. Thank You that it changed my life. Thank You that during those times I trusted You in ways I'd never trusted You before. In all things, give thanks. So let me ask you a question again this morning. How's this Christian life thing working out for you? It's either a dull habit or an acute fever. You experience His power when you let His peace rule and let His word dwell and let the name of Jesus set the standard. And as you grow more grateful day by day by day. Thank you, Lord, that I belong to you for today and tomorrow and all eternity, because I've trusted you as my Savior, because I follow you as my Lord. Maybe today you're here and you've never made that commitment. Maybe you've never trusted him as your Savior. Maybe you're here today and the truth is you've just tried to do it all by yourself. You've thought, I can depend upon me and only me, and the only one I have to satisfy is me, and it's just not working. Could it be that today is the day when you need to invite Christ to come into your life, to forgive your sins, to grant you eternal life, to have a living walk with him that never changes, to be grateful for what he has done for you when he gave his life for you? Maybe today is the day when you need to trust Jesus. If it is, then in just a minute we're going to stand and sing an invitation hymn, and that would be a time I'm going to be right here. You can come to me and say, today is the day I want to trust Jesus. Maybe today you're recognizing, you know, God's calling me to be part of what he's doing in this fellowship because I've experienced his love and his grace here, and I want to know him better, and I think this is where he wants me to be. Maybe today you need to join this church. Maybe today there's something that's been going on in your life and you know you need to surrender it to him and you're just ready to let it go. And maybe you just need to come and say, would you pray with me as I let go of something that's held me back from experiencing the joy God wants me to have? Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand and we're going to sing as God speaks. You come. Let's stand together. It's been good to be in God's house this morning. We look forward to tonight. I hope you'll be with us this evening as we do learn about more about this actively abiding life. Well, let's bow together for a closing prayer and then one final song. Father, we do thank you that you give us that chance to experience the joy, the peace, and the purpose that comes from letting you do what only you can do, by letting your peace and your word and your name guide our lives. Father, we are so grateful for all the ways you take care of us. And we trust you, Lord, and we depend upon you, and we thank you that you take care of us in every kind of way. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.